Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Okay, we've got to be honest, for so many of us, Sunday nights are the time when we kind of fend off that sinking feeling that the weekend's almost over and tomorrow it's back to work with all of the stress that that's going to bring. Given the fact that our jobs can so easily dominate our lives, it's well worth asking what our attitude to work should be. Now, from tonight, we're going to be exploring this with our special guest, Reverend Dr. Gordon Preece. He is the director of Macquarie Christian Studies Institute, where he teaches courses that help quote-unquote workplace Christians apply their faith to the whole of life. It's great to have you on Open House, Dr. Gordon Preece. Can I call you Gordon?
Yeah. Gordon or Doc.
Hey, MCSI, you've had this focus on really equipping workplace Christians, people who are just going to live their faith out in the secular scene, I guess, if you want to put it that way. Has that been a strategic decision?
Yes, it's been a strategic decision. It's because there are lots of groups out there who are training people and training them well for their ministry inside the church. We're going to train people for Monday ministry to be equipped to be Christian doctors, lawyers, teachers, builders, house wives and husbands, etc., etc. And we want people to be able to say, you know, thank God it's Monday.
Often we've had this dichotomy between what the spiritual is and what the sacred is, and never the two shall meet. I'm glad that you're bringing that together. Do you think God is a worker?
Yeah, I think biblically there are all sorts of images that we tend to over-spiritualize. Like we think of something like the Lord's my shepherd. That's a work image. God caring for his sheep, etc., etc., in a sacrificial kind of way, in a protective sort of way. God is a warrior. God is a teacher. God is a healer, a potter. God knits us together in our mother's womb in Psalm 139. There are umpteen different images of God's work. Robert Banks, my predecessor, wrote a book called God the Worker. It's about 400 pages about different images of God's work.
Do you think from God's perspective there is a particular purpose to work? Can we put it into a phrase or something?
I think the purpose of work, in some ways, the Westminster Shorter Catechism has it quite right when it says, you know, what are we created for? To enjoy God and glorify him forever. And I think through work, that's one of the ways we can actually enjoy God and glorify God forever. I think if we think of work a bit like the way we think of food and eating, there's a reasonable parallel there. There's, first of all, the fact you need it to survive. So there's the survival aspect, physical survival. Secondly, there's the social aspect when you eat. There's that side of it. It can be incredibly enjoyable to talk and etc. Thirdly, there's a pure enjoyment, almost aesthetic or beauty kind of aspect of a really well-cooked meal. Now, recently I heard someone saying, it was a games producer, and he was saying how useless it is for someone to produce a latte, and wouldn't you much rather be playing games or fantasizing about your role rescuing some damsel from a dungeon, etc., etc. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, no, if you really think about making a latte, you can make, people need lattes, you know, they need their fix to survive, in a sense, to keep on going. Secondly, it's an incredibly social kind of thing to drink lattes. And thirdly, there's a real art to making a good latte. A good barista, you know, takes great pride in producing really good lattes. It's an art form to it. There's something that's the pure enjoyment of it in itself. And it's the same with work in general, that there can be each of those levels in relationship to work. I think one of the Christian issues is that some people say, well, it's purely put food on the table and money in the plate. And I think that's a huge distortion. I think it makes work just purely into a materialistic kind of thing. Work has an intrinsic value in itself. We're actually made to rule over the earth, to have dominion over the earth, and to rule over it and care for it. And the main way we do that is through our work, paid or unpaid.
Yeah. Was it Luther who talked about work as being the hidden work of God, in the fact that God is the one who's actually renewing the creation? We're actually his co-workers.
Absolutely. We're God's masks, he says, in a kind of that drama, a play, and that God milks the cow through our hands, etc. The blacksmith in his shop, all his tools are saying to him, use me to, you know, hammer says, use me, the bellows say, use me to love and serve your neighbour. And I'd add care for the earth as well. And they're all saying that to us. And we need to look for those kinds of opportunities to love God through our work, to serve our neighbours, and thirdly, to care for the earth and develop the earth.
Right. What if you are in a job, a workplace at the moment that is not naturally fulfilling at all?
Yeah, I think that's really difficult. And I think we have to try and tackle that on a social level. I think we have to try and balance it out by keeping the hours of that kind of work to a minimum where possible, so that people are able to do other things that are more creative in terms of hobbies, etc., and leisure, so that they're able to fulfill themselves more in those sorts of ways. I think not everyone has a real sense of, well, let's say, you know, I'm called to be a garbage collector, okay? Nonetheless, it can provide for themselves and their family. Two, it's a socially useful kind of thing.
I heard somebody say, you have a strike of garbage collectors and you watch society decay, literally.
Oh, absolutely.
Not from the accountants.
Yeah, absolutely. And also there are other things that can be a way for someone to keep fit, for instance. So I think it's not always that people get a Damascus Road kind of calling to something. I think what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 about staying the calling in which you're called is to stay in the situation where you were when you got converted. At least look for the potential ways of serving. He even says slaves could see ways of serving God even in that situation. Now, sure, get free if you can. Get a better job if you can, where you can be more fulfilled in some ways. But really check out what opportunities are there here.
Okay, so how would we go about getting a bit of a feel? Okay, we may not have had some sort of dramatic call from God to go and be in a particular workplace or a particular career path. How do we work out some general principles then as to what it would be good for me to do?
Mm-hmm. I think you look at your own history. You look at the prominent lines of God's providence in your life, the things you've learnt through time, your natural talents and your spiritual gifts. I think they build on each other. I don't think they're completely separate. I think you ask, not just by yourself, but you ask the question, you know, does it seem good to the Holy Spirit and to us? That's what they did in Acts. So it's the us question that's really crucial, to have some other people ask about it. Think about your age and stage in life. Are you single? Are you married? Are you living in a war-torn country? Are you a refugee? All those sorts of things will affect those kinds of things. Do you have a disability, etc.? You have to weigh up those kinds of limitations. But at the same time, Karl Barth, who's probably the 20th century's greatest theologian, he talked about kind of liberty in limitation or freedom in limitation. And there are ways in which God can kind of channel our desires so that they don't just kind of, you know, wash all over the countryside in an arbitrary kind of way, but we actually channel them by paying attention to those different kinds of guidelines that help channel our gifts and that.
Do you think as Christians there are certain jobs that we should totally avoid? Are there some jobs that just should not be done?
Well, things like prostitution, for instance, and, you know...
How about manufacturing cigarettes?
Manufacturing cigarettes? Yeah, I would have an issue with that. I think it's very difficult if someone simply can't get a job and they're trying to provide for their family. I think I'm not going to condemn someone in that situation. But I think manufacturers of cigarettes, I think there was a Catholic bishop in Texas who basically said to his church... And the nuclear bomb industry basically was a big employer in that area. And he said basically the Catholics shouldn't work in making nuclear bombs. I think he was right.
Okay, last question. What about for those who don't work, who can't work? They've got a handicap, a mental illness, some sort of disability. Work is a special thing. What can they do?
There are different kinds of work. Karl Barth, again, talks about sort of reflective work. You know, the sort of work of the mind, the soul, etc. I know people who work with technology, with people with disabilities, and they can be quite amazing with technologies, and that can kind of in some ways make up for some bodily disabilities, and they're able to use those in all sorts of ways.
So do what you can.
Yeah, so do what you can, use your gifts, get together with other people and combine forces.
There's still a place for you. Okay, yeah. We might continue this next week, hey?
Great.
Sounds good. Gordon Preece, thanks for your time. We'll continue on next week. Let's look at, say, industrial relations. How about that?
Yep.
Talk to you then.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.